Hey there, all you Zentrons and Meltrons. This is Gwyn here, host of the Speaker Podcast. We're taking a bit of a break this episode from our regular, well, regular as of late, GER Talks, to talk about something other than Macross Delta, or so I thought. Both Renato and Richard, Jason and Kyle have sent in a few pre-recorded pieces for us. Now, Renato last month went down to Osaka and visited the infamous Firebomb Bar to catch up with the two Howards and some fans down in Osaka and, you know, hear their thoughts on what they think about Macross Delta. So, in the end, more Macross Delta. Then Richard, Kyle and Jason sit down to talk about Wave's recent announcement of a 172 scale VF4 plastic model, the recent announcement of the VF4 master file, and also, you guessed it, a bit more about Macross Delta, in particular episode 10. And I think we all know what happened there. But if you don't, spoilers. I won't let the meerkat out of the bag here. And I suppose I should probably mention that in several of these conversations, there's obviously alcohol present, and so the opinions expressed by all participants are strictly their own, and do not necessarily represent the views of the Speaker Podcast. Well, they might at times, but who knows what these guys are going to say. The Firebomb Bar makes a mean cocktail. Bomba! But that's it from me for this episode. I'm going to hand over to Renato in the rather noisy environment of the Firebomb Bar, and I'll see you all next week in the next GER Talk.
All right, so what's the date today? The 20th of May 2016, so it's the future. I am here to take a ride on a DeLorean for the very last time, but enough about my own private hobbies. It's time to get to real business, you know, the stuff that matters, and that's Macross. So I'm here at the Firebomb Bar in Osaka, and with me is...
Sketchley.
Chicago Howard.
And Osaka Howard.
And Mary.
And Chia is somewhere here.
Chia.
Yeah, she's really well into it.
I was making the difference.
So, sorry for arriving an hour after I said I was going to arrive. I'm really sorry. Yeah, you know, life. So, I didn't work it out as well as I should have.
You're here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm kind of dead, but it's okay. The Delta Genki is going to pick me up. So, I don't really have any way to start this off smoothly, so I'm just going to say, what do you guys think of Delta?
It's good, but it comes up short in other parts.
Okay.
Howard, what do you think?
Excellent answer.
Other Howard, what do you think?
Oh, it's the most Macrossy Macross that ever Macrossed.
Mary?
I didn't see it.
Oh my god.
Well, as I was about to say...
I'm sorry.
I didn't know this was what I wanted. I didn't know what I wanted. I just wanted something new. I wanted to see something cool. I wanted to be impressed, and it's impressed me. And also, my daughter loves Wellcute. My daughter is just about a year and a half old, and the music starts, and she drops her toys, and she's dancing. And
she dropped Valkyrie toys?
Well, not yet. She can't transform them. Blocks.
Me neither, but it's okay.
No, but she loves them. She loves the music. I can just start going pa pa da pa 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 da pa pa, and she'll start dancing. So she is. That beats Gwyn's 6-year-old by 5 years. So I think I may have the youngest Valkyrie fan in Japan.
There you go. You heard it here first. Starting them off really early. Yeah, because you gotta save up for all the crap that's coming down. Yeah, so I guess I'll start off by giving my impressions. When I first saw the teaser image, I was like, what is this? Idols again? You did this. You already did this, and it was a big failure within the narrative. Remember the jamming birds? How can you not? Because that's the name of the drink I just ordered, literally 5 minutes ago.
That's the jamming birds.
That's the jamming birds.
What does it taste like?
Hang
failure?
On.
Failure?
Ouch.
Desperate panic?
It's very sweet. It's very sweet.
In a bittersweet.
It does fit at all, because in Japan, the word for sweet is amai, and it also means amai as in, like, what do you mean? Sorry?
Underestimate.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. If you're, you know, hamakatta ne, you know, it's like you really underestimated the situation, which is what the jamming birds were. Perfect. I'm sure he doesn't even know. I'll tell the master later on. You know what? You're a genius, and you didn't even know it. Anyway,
Macro says he did it first.
That's the most important thing, okay? Yeah, and so that's what I was going to go on to. So my first impression was actually quite negative, and that's just from the teaser image that they gave out. And then I watched the first episode, and I was like you, Howard. I was like, okay, that's not what I was expecting when I saw the teaser image, and this is new. And in my opinion, it's far more impressive than Frontier, because Frontier was just, let's take Macross 7 with the ship in the space, and then let's have the Valkyries not sing and just go back a little bit. So this takes it much further. Valkyries dancing, is it stupid? Yes. Is it awesome? Of course. Therefore, it's Macross.
See, that's the thing. The super serials, the haters, the dancing Valkyries. The Valkyrie, he's dancing. Oh, it's not stupid, because it's part of the story. It's in there. There's a reason it's in there. The character dances. I mean, you've ever heard of capoeira? It's a martial art that is intended to be a dance. It's not stupid. It's a part of the world. It makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense to you, get out. Sorry, Gwen. You're just gonna have to bleep that.
Bye-bye.
But really, if you don't, if you are so clinging to your, it's a hardcore military drama. Just go. We don't need you stinking up the fandom and bitching. Just let it go.
Yeah, so as we bitch about bitching,
you came after that a few drinks. It's not my fault.
I'm sorry. So
it's my fault. It's totally my fault.
So, Aaron, you mentioned some shortcomings.
Yes.
Are you going to be one of the bitchers that... Is he going to punch your lads out in a minute?
Yeah, he's already skewered me earlier this evening.
We're going to get some firebombing.
It was with kindness. It was with mirth. You're okay. You speak in full sentences that don't sound like it's all caps. So, you're a human.
You're not a robot.
How can I follow up on that? Well, maybe like one of the things, like I mentioned earlier before you came, was that Macross F had Misa Ibata doing the character designs, and the artist doing the ones for Macross Delta, I feel, doesn't quite meet the same caliber as the preceding series. So,
yeah, I mean, what I thought was interesting about Risa Ibata's designs for Frontier was that they look a lot like sketches for graphic design.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's very, very fashion-oriented.
Yes.
And I know many fans that came into Macross Frontier because they were interested in the costume designs, and they wanted to replicate them, and they became cosplayers because of that. And then checked out the series afterwards so they could see the costumes from different angles. Yeah. So I think Ibata is really approaching it from that angle. This new designer is not that at all. But having said that, in terms of the quality, like how expressive the characters are, I think these designs suit them well for the way that they're animated. You know, they've got a lot of dynamic...
More expressions than Ranka ever had.
Yeah. So, with regards to shortcomings, so Howard, you said something interesting about capoeira, for example. Right, the capoeira is entirely part of Brazilian culture, right?
Yes.
So you need music with a very, very heavy beat, or at least like a very heavy emphasis on rhythm. And it, in my opinion, one of the shortcomings of Delta is the music.
Okay.
I'm not really... like. I'm not going to say that that Valkyrie mini concert last weekend was not awesome, because it was. It was fantastic. However, I'm not an Idol fan, and this does not...
Neither are you. I don't follow any of it. Not at all. No, none of it.
Yeah.
I kind of despise it.
Yeah.
Not despise it, but every time one of my six-year-old students says, I want to be an Idol singer, I just smile and kind of sotto voce say, I pray you never make it, sweetheart. Because that's just not work for a person.
Yeah, it'll
corrupt
you. I feel
bad for all the AKB girls crammed into tiny little apartments making less than minimum wage. It's terrible. But
yeah, I know. We can talk about the social issues like forever.
Yeah, so but I think that, we don't need to.
Yeah, no. But I think that the issue here is that if you're gonna have like that style of dancing, then it should be a more rhythm, groove-based style of music. And really, Macross hasn't done funk and, like, soul and that kind of stuff, you know? And, like Brazilian beats. And that's kind of what I would have hoped they'd do. Because it's not like, you know, they say, well, we've never done an Idol group before. Yeah, but Kawamori just did one a couple of years before this.
It wasn't a Macross.
But it might as well have been. I mean, you could just change the label, it would have been. So,
I mean, talking about capoeira, it's like, it's not saying it's straight up, oh, it's capoeira. It's... That's a real thing.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. That is it completely ludicrous that somebody somewhere would kind of stumble upon the same thing to use their ability to move something for a particular aim? It's like I can jump and kick and spin around, and if I do that next to this Zentronic battle pod, I can save someone's life. Why is that crazy? I don't get it.
Is that the part that they hate, really, though? Or is it...
I don't know. That's the part they bitch about. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's the part they... about.
I think you can say bitch.
Oh.
Hey, Gwen, can we say... Yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Gwen, you...
Aquarion!
Wait, can you say... Oh, God.
It's not going.
I have a problem with somebody who doesn't like it. I have a problem with people who complain... They just are enraged at its existence. They're writing walls of text and endless posts on the internet to try to prove something. And I just don't get it. Just walk away.
Tia, you
fun. Fly a kite, have a beer, do anything that doesn't make you this upset.
Fly a kite, have a beer. Hey, kids.
That's a dangerous combination. In a thunderstorm, too. With a...
I'm not trying to get them killed. I really want them to be happy. I want them to be happy. I see the cognitive dissonance from I like Macross, but I don't like this. Just tearing them up, and you know, it's a cartoon. Just walk away. Just do something else. Don't like this.
Tia, you watched one episode. What did you think? Not to change the topic completely, but what do you think? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it.
Which one was it? Do you remember what happened?
I don't know, but I remember I watched the first episode with you.
You watched the first one?
Yeah.
Just the first one?
Yeah, because you forced me to watch.
Oh, okay. And you never watched another again, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, there you go. That's what happens at our household. Howard, you should say something. You haven't said anything. And also, Mary, is there a reason you're not watching it? Do you refuse, or is it just because you don't have time?
I don't have time. I worked until 8:45 tonight, so I didn't watch anything.
I think it's also the hour that it's broadcast here in Osaka.
Right, it's 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's 5 in the morning?
Yeah.
I knew it was late, but I didn't think it was...
4:30 in the morning.
It's 3:30 in the morning. It's 3:30 in the morning.
It's a nasty time.
It's not to DVR. Yeah. It's not on Tuesday. It's Wednesday. Well, just admit it. It's Wednesday.
When I was living in Osaka, back when analog broadcasts existed, they were repeating the original Space Cruiser Yamato, like from beginning to even the third series. And they were all at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and I had to get up really early the following day, so I was always really groggy. It was like Thursday.
Hmm. So I pretty much have to find alternate means to watch it.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The plot thickens.
But so far, I just really, really love the direction it's taking, because it's, to me, the logical progression of what they should do with idols. In the beginning, it was an accidental use where, hey, look, these idols singing can actually help us win. And now they're finally integrated actually into a military unit or a paramilitary unit to actually give them the gear, the training to actually sing on the battlefield.
Idol superheroes. That's what I'm loving about this. It's superheroes and mecha in sci-fi all together.
And I'm glad that Colin Moore decided to take a risk, because one of the things he was thinking of doing was just doing a sequel to Frontier and just say, okay, let's just grab the money that's sitting there on the table. And they would have had an automatic number one hit and they would have made a ton of money. But instead, he decided to try something creative that might not make as much money. He even took a risk of removing Valkyries from Macross. And anybody could tell you that would result in a failure, but he wanted to try that anyway. And there you had the music culture. And I'm glad that he's willing to take the risk. He's willing to sacrifice money for actually trying to make something creative. And some people don't like it.
I love the commitment there. Howard's phone just rang. He opened it and then closed it and then continued talking. That was fantastic.
It's all about the Macross, brother.
Yeah. You're channeling your inner Kamamori there. You don't take no BS from nobody. Let me finish what I started. Okay, that's awesome. So how are you finding it, now? I mean, we've had a few curveballs so far, like with Windermere and
I was really looking forward to was the thematic shift that Carl Moore was talking about in the interviews that was supposed to happen in episode 5.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about there.
It's Delta. It's from episode 1, episode... It's the same. It's nothing shifted. It's just there. It's the show.
The thing that I was expecting was it would either go into the total grim, dark, gritty war or complete... Or all of a sudden, the Super Dimension Minky Momo Cross shows up and disgorging a bunch of magical girls or something.
Well, that would be awesome. I want that now. And if I don't get it,
it's canon. It's an actual valid universe. There's actual mecha designs for a Minky Momo Cross Valkyrie. So, and it's just as canon as any other Valkyrie.
Okay, what are you talking about? What do you mean, Minky Momo Cross Valkyrie?
Yeah, Minky Momo.
The fan animation? The Valkyrie? What Valkyrie?
I think it was actually a fan creation.
Yeah, there was an animation that they made where they had girls that transformed into Valkyries. In fact, I posted a picture from it just this morning.
You were the one that told me about it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I'm getting Alzheimer's. I've been drinking too many Jamming Birds.
I'll do it to you.
Okay, Aaron, how are you finding the story so far?
Oh, it's up and down, but the last two episodes I've found that it's getting better and it's sucking me in a lot more than the third and the fourth episode.
What went wrong with those? Exposition.
Yeah, not so much the exposition, but it felt a little bit like been there, done that.
Okay.
So now that they're going into they're infiltrating into this the cat planet, and it's interesting there.
See, I love Delta, but that really the premise of the episode turned me off, because I really dislike when, and it only happens in sci-fi TV, when it's like, oh, here's the pilot and now he's just Universal Soldier. He just does whatever because we don't want to introduce new characters, or introducing new characters would ruin the flow of the story. It doesn't make sense to have pilots doing marine recon job. But
at a certain point, you just have to roll with it.
Exactly. And I said, all right, shut up that part of my brain and just watch it and enjoyed it. And I thought about, okay, well, it makes sense. Kid A, send them in. The hacker girls can't hack through the wall, but they can hack their way through the wall, if you know what I mean. They can't. They got to be on the planet, so they send the hackers in. They send Kaname-sen. She's a leader. She won't say go. She'll say follow me.
Mikumo, she's Mikumo. She's the cyber queen. Send her in to mess her. The fighter pilots would, because they have batroids, they would have infantry training to be able to learn how to fight in a humanoid form. So they're acceptable. I kind of thought about saying, okay, I see. They didn't send Chuck. They didn't send Chuck, so everybody else has a reason to be there. Chuck, he's got no reason to be there.
Actually, that is kind of weird. I didn't even notice it until you just told me that.
They'd have to hide his gills, and they'd have to hide his fins, and he's a big dude walking around a planet of cats.
Well, do you think he complained of discrimination when they opted him? I can't go. Why not? Because you have gills.
Well, you can't fit in. He couldn't be Catman.
Catman brother.
Catfishman.
You couldn't put the little hat on him like they did with Messer and Hayate and have him, okay, I'm a totally believable cat person. I'd be like, no, you're not. You're from Ragna. That's where Delta's from. So, because they left Chuck out, everybody else, okay, all right, fine. I just accepted it and decided to go because I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, you know that I think the writers did expect that kind of reaction as well, because there is one like line of dialogue which is an excuse, really. Mm-hmm. The excuse is that Arad wanted them to have training, like further, like more hands-on training, and that's why they went into the infiltration mission. That's it.
Be
one line
of a softball.
Yeah.
Cakewalk. Easy. You know, a little danger. Sneak him in, but not realizing that the knights were there. And oh crap. Well, okay. That's where the drama comes in. So you know what? I was fine with it. I was just a little, see the preview, and the whole fighter pilots as ground pounders. Yeah, but it was fine. It was good. It was a good episode. And I'm looking forward to the next one.
Let me guess. Space Above and Beyond.
Yeah. I hated that when they did that. I hated that. Yes, it's exactly the one that other show that I was like, oh, why did you do that? Anyhow.
But technically, though, like in the very first episode, the girls, the Welker unit, were infiltrating the planet, so it's there from the beginning. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, undercover, Mikumo doing the undercover thing, exactly that. I see why she said her. She's all cybered up, obviously, to some, and she's got her mysteriousness. You know, obviously somebody knows who the mysteriousness is, so that makes sense. So, yeah, I made my peace with it really quickly, once I actually was watching the episode, so, yeah.
Okay. Well, it seems like everyone has lots of very, very positive thoughts on this new show, and it seems that everyone is looking forward to it. So there's no reason to be hateful or negative. And so it's kind of strange, you know. It's kind of strange because I'm so used to just hearing like, lots of negative rage. Like, not from the people that I talk to, but I mean, like, from this new show. Oh, Mary's leaving. Okay, bye. Be careful. Take care.
I don't read it. I just ignore it. Literally. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, another thing I'm really, really happy about it is that it opens up immense possibilities for the future.
Exactly.
If this is what they're doing now, then just sky's the limit. One of the things we have
sky's
here...
Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
How many years until Kamori retires? I mean, he's getting up in age.
He's an artist. He'll probably never...
One thing you gotta realize
is,
with Valkyrie hitting number one and doing so, if this continues, I think it's almost a guarantee that Delta will be the first direct sequel, because they're not gonna create an idle unit and then go, oh, the show's over, bye, thanks, and just that be done.
No, wait,
it's going to continue if they can keep it going.
I'm doubtful about that. I mean, they'll keep it going for a while, but I'm not so sure that this is a legitimate unit. And the reason I say that is because each of the members has their own manager, which is unlike a regular idol group. Their managers make contract negotiations with Flying Dog for each appearance of
it's not the usual slave contract that an idol runs under,
and they will appear in other things by themselves.
That's true. But I could see them if it gets popular and if they can milk it, I could see them continuing it and then going, all right, we've got this thing, Valkyrie, and we move on to Macross Epsilon, and Valkyrie can save the day somewhere else, because I think they're gonna. I think if they can, they're gonna.
Actually, that reminds me of some point that I had. Valkyrie is supposed to cure the Vars syndrome, right?
Supposed to Var cure.
Yeah. Well done there.
Okay, let's keep going.
That's not what I was going for. Don't be offended. Don't think that that's my level of humor, man.
I'm sorry. I didn't. He said.
No. Okay, wait. Let me go back. So this Var syndrome is spreading across the galaxy, right? Are there other Valkyrie teams? Is the Jamming Birds back and up and running and like curing Var syndrome?
There's absolutely no way any of the members of the Jamming Birds could generate a fold wave. Absolutely no way.
Well, you know,
20-30 years.
Yeah, they've had 20-30 years to hone their skills.
Oh yeah,
Marijima is doing pretty well.
Well, the thing is, they tried that. They were recruiting girls from all over the galaxy to be part of Valkyrie, but not enough of them had the innate ability to sing using
really from across the galaxy, or was it just there was one cat girl. There was one cat girl and a bunch of humans, and
there was one cat girl.
Oh, someone pointed it out on the internet. Oh God, there's a cat girl. Officially, cat girls are a thing in Macross. Back in the second or third episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, we have a whole...
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. There was a girl with a tail.
Yeah, there was somebody with a tail. No, but I mean... like, in the background for 3 seconds.
But, I mean, so if you're saying that they sent out auditions all throughout the entire galaxy, and only Freya made it, and there are many, many Var syndrome outbreaks, who's putting out all the fires?
But it could be localized. I mean, they don't explain it because they want to explain it later, as my guess. I mean, if you over-explain, give too much detail, you paint yourself into a corner, you can't do something later. You give the detail you need, not the detail that
you deserve.
Well, that could be part of the reason that the nuns haven't shown up, is they're busy on other areas of the galaxy.
Yeah, they're probably just fighting them, like, traditionally.
Just killing them. You know? Wow, that's it, you're done. Really simple.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, I really can't think of anything else to say about this.
Well, right here. We got
right where?
Being that we're here in Firebombar, one of the things we can do is we can look at the Macross 7 pre-production Bible.
Yes. Here, listeners, take a look.
So this is one of the rare things where you can see a lot of the ideas that Karamori was percolating.
This is awesome, by the way. This thing here where the Valkyries are flying off, and it seems like the dome is much bigger than it ended up being. And look, the legs are chunkier on the Battle
right.
7.
Right now, we're looking at the picture of the early version of the Macross 7.
Yeah.
Which is apparently has a...
Who lost the TV? Welcome to Firebomber.
That's cool, but there's an even better picture way back over here. What's this a picture of, everyone?
It's Fire Valkyrie with
VF-11 with an electronic guitar, if I'm not mistaken.
So here we have a Valkyrie with sound boosters, with a Valkyrie-sized guitar, and a mouth. Now, what's the big thing that mouths are used for in Macross?
Kissing.
Yes. That's definitely one of the things that they should be able to integrate, because they've already got AI.
They've got AI, and now they've got I.
Right. They got
I avoid them.
They have AIs that can sing. They have AIs that can...
Aaron next to me is just about to explode.
Uh-huh. No comment. Yeah.
They already did that, by the way. Transformers did it. Kiss Players. Remember Kiss Players?
Yeah.
And now Howard is exploding.
What, you don't like
and
it?
He's doing sometimes.
He's doing the I'm taking off my spectacles
ass. And that was one of the days.
Because now we can have Kiss players in Macross.
Nope. I'm out. Okay, I'm out. That's it. That's out. Okay, you just killed it. I'm done.
What are you drinking tonight? I don't think that's
whiskey.
That's orange juice.
Well, again, this is your fault for showing up an hour late where we can have a bunch of hard liquor before you show up.
Yeah,
I should do this more often. Fashionably late.
You really should. Yeah. You really should. No, actually, show up on time. Tell us you're going to be 2 hours earlier so we can have more time to talk. Because
that's true. Okay, because you got to go, right? I'm sorry.
It's about train time. So, and any of the haters who are offended by anything I've said, I'm not trying to fight with you. I want to get along. Come to Osaka. We will have a drink at Firebomber. You can hate Delta all you want. Just don't spend so much time being angry about it. I want you to be happy just like me.
マスター、マスターです。あ、マスターです。どうも、初めましてマスターです。あ、音声だけです。あ、ほんまだファイヤーボンバー大好きなんで、あの、みんなファイヤーボンバーファンは来てください。そして今ニコ生始めたんですよ。あ、そうですか。あの、乾杯温度取るんで、みんなでボンバー行ってください。All
right, apparently we're streaming right now on the internet. You could have told me, isn't it illegal to do this without telling me, but whatever. Yeah.
乾杯。
He's
just picking him. He's just filming himself.
Hey!
Bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
And we're still recording over here, so Gwyn's going to have a field day with this.
A lot of gunpowder sounds.
Yeah, okay, so I guess we'll just wrap this up. Thank you very much, Howard Zhu and Aaron. Neil, you wanna add? Yeah. Bummer.
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 Yay. All right, so it's over to Tokyo people whilst I go back to the future of 2015. Because, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm really going to miss the Back to the Future ride. Did you ever go there?
One time when I first came.
One time? Yeah, when it was new. Oh, yeah, you can talk about it. It's fine. Howard's going to talk about the original Knights of the Sky, right? Knights of the Wind.
Oh. Another thing we have over here at the end of the Bible, the Macross pre-production book, we have the Knights of the Wind. Way, way, way back in Macross 7 Age, you got to see the early version of the SV fighter that you saw in the recent episode, and very knights with swords-looking Valkyries. So, once again, Macross 7 did it first.
Well, wasn't this originally what we created for what became Escaflowne?
It wasn't created for Escaflowne, but it did become Escaflowne.
Yeah.
All right. See you. Take care. Nice to meet you again.
Yeah, good to see you.
I'll definitely come for longer next time. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Next time. All right. Bye.
Take
guys.
Care. And tell me when you're in Tokyo, if ever.
Will do.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Oyasumi. Don't miss the train. And if you do, come back here. How long is this open?
Around midnight or so.
Mm. Midnight, so we've got like 15 minutes.
Yeah, but yeah. I've actually got to.
You got to leave as well.
Got to be Cinderella too.
Okay.
So
no, it's okay.
Bye. You.
All right.
Gonna get back to the real world. Okay. Take care. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. There was actually one image I remember that they made. And they turned it into one of the trading cards, so it's probably up here on the wall somewhere, of the Fire Valkyrie, like the actual one, with a Fire Valkyrie-sized guitar. It's an actual official Macross 7
art. And now that we have Valkyries dancing, it's just one more step to where they're dancing with instruments and singing.
Yes. You know, that's actually one of the things that I wanted Macross 7 to do, eventually. Like, because there was one episode, or like a few episodes, where they had the Valkyries on stage,
while Fire Bomber was performing in front of them. And I was thinking, you know what, it's really not that much of a jump if they were in there whilst performing, right?
Wasn't it just a budget issue that prevented that?
Oh, it probably was. If you look at the, listen to the commentaries on the Blu-rays, they do mention that a lot of the times when Basara is performing, they'd block it so that you can't actually see what his hands are doing because they don't want to animate all that stuff. Yeah, so there's a lot of budget constraints there. Well, all right, Aaron, thank you very much for taking part, and have a good evening.
You
take
too.
Care.
Take care.
Right.
Bomber.
Bye, thanks. Take care. That's that. Yeah, that's I think we did a good, very, very quick wrap-up. Yeah.
A little less rambling than usual, but a little more... Alcohol might have helped a little bit.
It definitely helps. It always helps. All right. Folding out, I guess. Wow.
Understand the procedure now.
Hello, young man. Do you like model Valkyries?
Yes, I do, Mr. Mysterious Stranger, who I never met before.
Wonderful. What kind of Valkyrie models do you like?
I like rare Valkyries that only show up for 2 minutes of animation.
Then have I got a surprise for you, little boy.
What is it?
Wave Corporation has announced its very own VF4 Lightning 3!
No way! What scale is it?
Only the finest model scale, 172! Keep your eyes open for a release sometime in...
Release date has not been announced.
Wow! Thanks, Mysterious.
Where do you think you're going, Scout? I'm not done yet.
You mean there's more?
You bet. This summer, SoftBank is putting out a VF4 master file.
Gee whiz, that's Ginchy, sir.
Ginchy is right, kiddo.
Actors are unpaid spokesmen. Wave VF4 and SoftBank master file not available in all regions.
Hey, welcome to the Macross Speaker Podcast, U.S. edition. This one was not really planned. It's really only here because Kyle is down in Southern California right now, and we all had some time, and so we decided to get together and record something. I am your sometime host of the U.S. edition, Richard, sometimes known as Goobaba. And on my right is...
I am Jason, otherwise known on the forums as Jason C., otherwise known as Jasnik.
And on my left...
Kyle, known as Falcon KPD throughout the internet, as well as the forums.
And what shirt are you wearing right now, by the way?
Oh, I just printed an Elysium shirt from...
What's Elysium?
Oh, God. Okay, so I'm making a fan comic, and I've been making it for about a year and a half, and it's all original characters. It's taking place in the Macross universe, but it's, like, on a different, you know, different fleet than what anybody's seen, and it's completely not canon, and it has no relation to the Elysian in Macross Delta.
I heard rumors that you were getting sued over that. Is that true?
I'm not supposed to talk about it. No, that is not true.
Okay, so anyway, the main thing we wanted to talk about this time is there's been some recent news, which you may have heard a commercial about.
That commercial was awesome, by the way. Whoever did those...
Yeah,
the voices sounded kind of familiar, though.
Yeah, but good acting, good acting.
Yes, spot on.
The that, like, Wave is coming out with a 1/72nd scale kit of the VF4. Now, we don't know yet which version of the VF4 it is, but it really doesn't matter, right?
Considering we only see one version animated... And the only other version we see is identical?
Yeah, well, the other versions, there are a few.
There are a few. I mean, other than the head and some, like, non-canon...
Right, well, it's... I mean, there's... So there's the Flashback 2012 one.
Yeah.
Which the Yamato toy expressly is not.
Yes.
Right? There's the VFX via 4G. And then there's in, Macross M3, you have the Max and Milia versions.
Yes, but overall, the designs themselves, like the actual...
Are the same.
...models are the same.
Right. So you could probably make it any one of those four.
Yes.
Or any one of the ones that were in the back of the Macross Plus, This Is Animation book.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's
yeah. Right.
Yeah. I've never...
Dylan's here, too.
Yeah.
Hi, Dylan. He's mad because we didn't introduce him again.
Right. I've never built any of the Wave kits, but Kyle, you have, right?
Yeah. They're a really, really good alternative to the Hasagawa kits. They're usually 1/100 scale.
Well, the VF1s are 1/100, and then the VF0s are, quote-unquote, non-scale.
They... come out to about 1/144, roughly. Okay. They're really, really nice little kits if you don't want to build something as complex as a Hasagawa kit.
Right.
And they almost go together like a Gunpla, so you don't really need glue when you're assembling them.
Nice.
They have lots of polycaps. And the Bataroids, when you finish the Bataroids, they're almost like Gunpla.
They're kind of almost like toys.
Yeah, they have... points of articulation. The fighter kits are what I've personally had experience with, and they're really easy to build, and they have really, really nice panel lining. They have really nice details on them, especially for the scale. And if they keep that kind of formula with the VF4 kit in 172, I'm going to be the happiest man alive, because I know we're probably never going to get a Hasagawa VF4.
Right.
But this is probably the next best thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, for their 172nd scale kits, it seems like Wave is going for the stuff that Hasagawa is never going to do. So they do, like... Do they have all of the Destroids now? I mean, they don't have the monster, but the four ones that are, like a deep... What can I say?
I think they're long out of print, but...
Oh, really?
They did them? I haven't seen a lot of new Wave Productions and stuff in a while.
Okay. I kept seeing them every time I went to Yodobashi Camera, which is a big chain in Tokyo. And they always had the wave kits there. But they had, like... I mean, they even had, like, Bandai Macross kits there. So,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't even a used place. It's like, they sell new stuff, but I think there's still probably a lot of these around.
Oh, you know? I'm sure there's still a lot of them around. It's just, I don't know if they're still making them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it, don't quote me on that. They could be.
Right.
It could just be a production number that they picked that
yes.
Yeah. Right.
But kind of low and still, it was probably low and... still, there's a lot available, so that's
yeah.
It could just be one of those things where it just wasn't meant to sell well, but they sold well enough.
But Hasagawa will never make Destroid, so Wave jumped in, and I'm sure there's communication between the two companies.
Okay.
Like, Wave will say, you know, we want to do something in 172nd. What are you guys not going to make?
Right. I can imagine that's probably the case. I can't make an informed opinion myself.
No.
But...
This is all speculation.
Yes. All speculation, folks. But no, I'm really, really looking forward to the Wave kit. It's a VF4, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with a VF4.
And just today, you got your resin VF4 as well.
Yeah, no, it's,
The mold,
vinyl.
The molds for the VF.
No, it's a model. It's just really crudely molded, and it's. By the way, I must thank Gwyn and Adrian for that, because there's a story behind it.
As you talk crap about it.
No, it's not a bad. Well, okay, all right. Story time. Okay, about 6 months ago, it was last Macross Worldcon. I was here at Jason's house, and we were getting ready for the convention. And I had just gotten the VF4G Lightning 3 by Yamato. Annika, my girlfriend, found one, and it was amazing, and I love her very much. But Gwen and Adrian didn't know about this, and they had picked up the vinyl VF4 kit as kind of like a consolation prize, because I never got one. And they, like, presented it to me, and, you know, it was going to be like a joke, but it's actually going to be an interesting build, and I'm kind of looking forward to it, although it's going to be hard as hell.
It doesn't look like it's going to be much fun.
You know what's funny? From the stories that I've heard from Leonardo Flores and a few other people,
mm-hmm.
was that not a lot of people actually put that thing together because they opened it up and saw the work that was involved in it and gave up upon visual inspection of it.
Wow. Well, I was thinking about getting one. This is when I was in Tokyo, and it was just kind of like, you know, Hasegawa is never going to make a VF4. I kind of want a 1/72 scale VF4. Maybe I'll just get the resin kit. And we were talking to our friend Ken, who was visiting Tokyo and is a really expert resin kit modeler. And I mentioned it to him, and he just said, have you built resin kits before? And I said, no, never. I've seen them, and they've always kind of scared me. And he said, if you're going to start making resin kits, a 1/72 scale aircraft is not what you want to start with. Right. And so I kind of gave up that. So I'm really happy that the Wave 1 is coming out.
Yeah, and see, I've only built maybe 2 or 3 scale resin model kits. One of them was a 1/8 scale figure, so that was somewhat easy. I've never done a fighter or any mechanical aircraft in 1/72.
Hmm.
I started working on one that was in 1/48, and that was workable. But even still, I mean, one thing people don't understand is that resin comes in different forms. And what this kit is that Kyle has is a vinyl resin. It is very soft. It's very temperature moody. So if it gets too hot, you might start seeing the wings start to droop.
They already are a little drooped, actually. I'm going to have to play around with them to get them straightened up.
So not only do you have to worry about fixing up the parts and prepping the parts and, you know, all the right primers and the paints, you have to start thinking, okay, you know what, it's kind of a hot day. Maybe I should, you know, while I'm working on this thing, maybe if I need to straighten out this wing, I should have like a bowl of hot water and then a bowl of ice water so that I can form the part the way it's supposed to be formed and then quickly put it in the cold water to make it stiff.
No, so it's mostly the wings and the thin bits that are scaring me a little bit. Because a lot of the kit is actually really, really well molded, surprisingly. And I just need to cut away the excess vinyl that's on it. And most of it is going to be totally fine to assemble. Because I have a bit of experience with 1/100 resin kits. Although the resin was a bit more firm, I guess.
Yeah.
I've built a few A-10s, I've built a few Huey helicopters, and I'm pretty confident in being able to make this thing. It's just going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, along with the this Bonanza VF4 model kit joy, we're getting something else related to the VF4. And, Jason, do you want to tell us what that is?
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of people who love these master file books.
You're talking to two of them.
Yep. Well, just recently announced, did we hear that in the commercial?
Yes.
No, yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yes, that's in the commercial.
Yes.
I was so happy about the model kit, I just...
You blanked out on the rest.
Yeah. But yeah,
well, that's the thing. You can listen to the commercial many times, and you'll get new information out of it every time.
The beauty of podcasting.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But yeah, so they made this announcement that the SoftBank is going to be releasing a VF4 master file book.
Which, they're in one of them, they had like a fake.
Yeah,
and it was like the VF4 and what? The VF
3000
and 5000.
And so that seemed like a reach, because there just didn't seem to be enough information about any of them to make an entire book. Yeah. So the fact that you can just take the VF4 and make a book out of that seems really, like, I'm surprised that this is coming out.
I am too, but at the same time, Yamato released the VF4 once, and, you know, after Richard and I shut that company down,
yes,
Arcadia decided to pick it up again,
and now we need to shut them down.
Yeah, they gotta go. No, but seriously, in all seriousness, you know, it had a resurgence, and they released it as like a, you know, a full-on release instead of more of like a special order. And so with that, and then you've got, I believe there's an anniversary coming up.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yes. Flashback 2012 is going to be 30 years old next year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So with that, and then you've got these toys that are coming out, and then it seems like a good time.
Yeah.
And I will disagree with you on this. I think there is enough to make a VF4 Master File book on its own. Guessing here, I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a lot of background on how the VF1 ended up morphing into this VF4 out of necessity and production and history and all that stuff. How many units were made and where they were dispersed throughout the colonies and stuff.
And maybe we'll see them with a gun pod and with missile hardpoints.
Yes.
Yes, that's one of the things that I question. I really want to see, like, do these things actually have hardpoints? Because it's meant to be like a specialized strike fighter,
like an interceptor kind of thing.
And so you would think that it's meant to get in, do what they got to do, and get out fast. So attaching a bunch of armor and this and that and all this stuff. But, you know, so I don't really see it as being something that would carry all that, but apparently it does carry a gun pod, or has the ability to.
One more thing. Not only is it the 30th anniversary of Flashback 2012 next year, it is the 20th anniversary of VFX, which originally showed the VF4's 3-mode transformation.
Yep.
It's also the 10th anniversary of Macross Frontier, but that is kind of either here or there. But yeah, because I remember, like, when VFX came out, and I didn't get it because I didn't have, like, any type of gaming console. But I remember seeing the Gerwalk and the Batroid and being really, really disappointed in the Batroid. Yeah.
I like the Batroid. I think it's really kind of unique.
It's very unique.
It's very, and, like,
well, okay, you can't say very unique because unique itself is, like, obviously unique. So it's unique, but I don't think it looks all that great.
It's the uniquest Valkyrie in the universe.
Well, right. The way I look at it is, a few years beforehand... Phone's ringing.
Yeah, they can leave a message.
Alright, cool. The way I see it, Kawamori had just designed the VF-17, like, quote-unquote, heavy Batteroid, 3 or 4 years beforehand.
Right.
And with the VF-4, I think he was going for another, like, heavy Batteroid kind of look. And I just feel like he was trying to keep that kind of, like, heavy armored aesthetic, even though it doesn't have an armor pack itself. And it almost looks like it's a giant football player-looking thing.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Every time I've looked at it in Batroid, I've never been able to pinpoint exactly what it looks like. But you're right. Because when you look at football players, I mean, you know, they've got their little skinny legs and everything, but then it's almost like a toothpick with an olive standing on top.
Yeah.
It's just like big pads and everything on top. And that's exactly what the VF4 looks like.
And I think it's awesome.
So the big question about it, though, that if you were reading Animag in the late 80s, was the VF4 originally designed to be transformable, or is that just a later development? But actually, I have an answer to this, so I don't really know why I brought it up. But because there was an Animag interview with Kawamori where he laughingly refused to describe the VF4 as transformable, which apparently was a mistranslation. of his actual answer. But...
So was it a yes that it was?
Well, if you go through Macross Perfect Memory, mm-hmm. You know, they show the VFX4, the prototype, which is the one that Hikaru has the little toy of,
right.
That he's looking depressed at, when Minmay's, like, pressuring him to quit his job. And if you look in Macross Perfect Memory, it says, newest type variable fighter. Yeah. I mean, in Japanese. So it always was meant to transform, but apparently Kawamori didn't design the actual transformation until later.
Well, why would they call it VF4 if it's not?
Why would they call it VF if it's not a VF, right?
I don't see. This is one of those things where there's been quite a bit of misinformation mm-hmm. brought out. Because originally, I don't remember who it was because it was so long ago. Somebody had told me that it was meant to be for another series, not Macross related, and
what?
That's why it originally wasn't supposed to transform.
Okay. Even though the prototype is in the original series as that toy that.
I don't know.
Well, I mean Orgus,
kinda,
or the
yeah,
Orgus.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like, why is there a VF1 in Orgus? You know, they just kind of.
Or why is there an Orgus in
Macross?
They
kind of throw everything, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's true. I haven't come across anything that confirms it, but I haven't come across anything that denies it either.
You know what, at this point, I can only go by what is officially written or what's officially quoted by somebody,
right.
And
yeah.
You're telling me that they had, you know, what their answer was, so I got to go by that. I can't go off of what somebody else says just mm-hmm. because they want to say it or that's what they heard from somebody else.
And, okay, so is that it about the VF4?
Yeah.
Because there's something that we've been holding under our hats today in Southern California. It's at about 7:30 a.m. Sunday mornings, the new episode of Macross Delta airs, and spoiler alert,
we lost somebody very close to us. Hey, man.
I mean, Mika was a bitch. Give me back Cheryl.
Well, you know, they really shouldn't be even subtitling the music.
And Korean barbecue sucks. So the new episode of Delta was kind of shocking, especially because the first half of it was so... not... goofy, exactly, but very light.
It was lighthearted, and it was playing up to be, like, the whole tropey festival episode.
Yeah, and I noticed that they did this even on the website.
Yeah.
Like, if you looked at the Macross website, they were like, yeah, episode 10, it's all about the Jellyfish Festival, and all of the pictures were of the Jellyfish Festival. You see Reyna wearing her jellyfish cosplay and looking adorable. And then, you know, as the episode goes on, it kind of goes away from that. But even then, like, it takes a while. Like, it's only at the very end that it's like, bam.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Messer's dead.
You know what? When cause I got up maybe, like, I want to say almost about 7 o'clock over here, and I think the episode was either just finishing or mm-hmm. was still airing, and, no, it had to be over already. So, but anyways, I go on, and I'm checking to see if it's on, and there it is, and so I start watching it.
This is on Japanese Hulu, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the first like 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, I wasn't expecting it to be one of those tropey, you know, everybody's at the beach swim, you know, or the party thing. It originally seemed to me like it was going to be one of those things like where certain relationships start establishing themselves
mm-hmm.
more firmly, and I was
right.
I was expecting that.
You were expecting a development of the previous episode.
I was expecting more character development. Yeah. And I didn't really expect there to be any major changes to happen. But then just all of a sudden, it just switches. And it just, it's like you're kind of going steady along on this roller coaster. And then all of a sudden, you just get this, boom, this quick drop. And you're just like, oh my God.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
So it's like the Jurassic Park ride. Unfortunately, the thing is, I was poking around on Facebook before I watched it, and on my PlayStation, and naming no names, but someone who I like quite a bit. I mean, she's great. Who was on the Gertalk, posted, who was on the Gertalk this week, and also had previously said something nasty about Machina, posted on her Facebook page, Messer, no! And I was like, ah, shit, he's gonna die, isn't he? And then I watched it. So, yeah, I expected it, but it was still shocking.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I try not to say anything regarding anything for 48 hours. I mean...
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad at anybody for putting up spoilers. I mean, one, because I saw it before the spoilers had a chance to go.
I would have been pissed if I saw spoilers and somebody ruined it for me. I would have flipped out.
And the thing is, it's like, I saw it first, and I mean, Kyle's staying at my place right now, like, since he's down here for a few days. But I went off to Starbucks in the morning, and I watched it there, and then Kyle met up with me, and I was like, yeah, do you want to watch episode 10 of Delta? And he was like, you know, Annika and I do our reaction to it together, so I kind of want to wait. And I'm really thinking, like, if he waits, it's gonna get spoiled. And I was like, no, you know, let's just watch it now. You know, you can pretend to... I think you actually suggested, okay, I can pretend that I hadn't...
She's probably gonna hear this podcast, dude. I can always edit this.
No, but you're gonna tell her to watch it also. Right?
I might just tell her to watch it today when she gets home, just so she doesn't have anything spoiled for her.
That's probably the best way to go, because, I mean, if she's already looking on the internet, she probably already knows.
Right.
Yeah. That's the truth of it.
So the problem is that Kyle said, oh, did someone die? And he said it kind of jokingly. And I couldn't really answer. I'm like,
he just was like,
I was like,
and I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit down.
And I was like, okay, you know, it's a light episode. It's a festival episode. There's a jellyfish festival.
And you weren't lying.
And I wasn't lying. And then we got to the end, and Kyle was absolutely horrified. And it was like, I mean, this was the second time I was watching it. So, like, with one eye, I was watching the episode, and with the other eye, I was watching Kyle. And, yeah, it was...
Okay. And we did watch it again before starting this podcast.
Yes.
And at that point, I did look over at Kyle, and Kyle still had this look of, like he wanted to cry. Although, to be honest, I still get... This is my second time watching it, too, and I still kind of caught the feels on that.
Yeah, no, it was my third time, and it's still, you know...
We were all dead silent this time, because we knew it was coming, and everybody was just, like, completely...
And watching it this time, I was amazed at how long it took to get to that point. That's like... You know, it's like watching it the first time... I think I kind of had it in my head, okay, first half jellyfish, second half Messer dime. But there's a lot more in there, and it's like, and I was actually kind of getting impatient. I'm like, wait, aren't they supposed to be getting to Messer dying? Like, oh, yeah, there's that whole fight between Royd and Keith over what to do about Hines. And
yeah, good talk, you didn't cover that.
Yeah, where Keith really handed it back to Royd and almost cut off one of his runes, which seems like a major no-no.
Dude, it's like cutting off a dude's balls.
Yeah, no, it's basically castration, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Emotional castration.
Right. I think I get the feeling, and I'm not one for speculation, but I mean, I think that the Aerial Knights will mostly become good guys as the series continues, but I don't think Keith is gonna be redeemed. After this episode, I'm like, yeah, he's gonna stay bad.
Dude.
They were getting a lot of signs of that early on when Royd was trying to tell him, no, he's had enough for the day, and Keith will look at him like I should cut you down right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, then there's the fact that Keith is the bastard son of the king.
Yeah.
So he can't inherit the throne, and
Hans well, that means that he automatically has to be the main enemy in all of this series.
Because he's a bastard.
Yeah.
Well,
so it's like King Lear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even Gepelnitch in Macross 7 was redeemed.
True.
Even Feth in Macross 2 was redeemed.
Oh.
Wasn't he? I don't remember. I was, like, too drunk to remember that.
I fell asleep at that point.
Okay.
But Maza Feth!
The thing about Macross... Okay. The thing about Macross is that anybody can be redeemed.
Yeah.
I guess. And
not Bulldozer.
Well, I bet he would have if he didn't get a 55mm round through his head.
Yeah, that tends not to.
Yeah.
Not Grace. Well, no, she got redeemed in the movies.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Not Leon.
No, he didn't get redeemed.
He didn't get punished that hard. Oh, he did in the movies.
Yeah, he got killed in the movies.
But for a completely different reason.
Yeah. That was because he was holding those, like, stupid steel balls and
rolling. Anybody who holds those should be shot and killed.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a new Macross
thing.
It's a thing.
It's like the new pineapple cake.
Yeah.
Or pineapple salad.
Pineapple cake! Okay, like, someone mentioned this on my blog where I talked about the pineapple cake. There is no evidence that pineapple cake was ever lethal.
Well, no, because Ozma lives.
Ozma lives, and the pineapple cake was, like, 11 years before.
Yeah.
That he made the pineapple cake for Ranka, right?
Didn't Kathy make him one?
Yes, she made him
one. No, but Claudia made pineapple salad.
Yeah, so the pineapple salad is lethal, although Roy never actually ate it. But the pineapple...
He was in the vicinity of it, and he talked about it, and he wanted to eat it.
Right.
Same thing with steak. Maybe, you can't have steak either. Ever.
Right.
Maybe the pineapple is what saves you in the end.
Pineapple is kind of a harbinger of death, I think, in the original series, because not only is there a pineapple salad, there's also the bit in episode 35, the Christmas episode, where Minmay buys a pineapple.
Yeah.
And drops it. When she hears about, like, all the Zentradi attacks happening and, like, the city's blowing up. And then when it hits the ground and shatters, it cuts to an explosion. Yeah. So I think it is symbolic of death. But the pineapple cake is okay.
Are apples part of pineapple salad?
It's a fruit salad, so yeah.
This has been planned from the get-go. This has been planned from the get-go. Cal Mori pulled a George Lucas on us.
Damn.
God damn it. Nothing is original.
He really is the George Lucas of anime. But yeah, no. This episode had a lot going on in it. It's just that Messer's death. He's not alive.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to...
Mike!
Is going to overshadow... Pretty much the rest of the episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, they said that on the Gur Talk, but one thing they didn't say on the Gur Talk was the great little shout-out with Chuck's little brothers and sisters,
the
foam people, where, like, they're like, jelly, like, they're selling, like, the jellyfish manju, which are, like, buns, and they're like, jellyfish fire, jellyfish bomba! And then, like, the little girl's like, we don't give this kind of jellyfish, or we don't give this kind of manju very often.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was cool.
Yeah.
You know, I like that.
For those who don't know, they were referencing Seven and Frontier. Frontier had a lot of Seven stuff in it.
A little bit. Ozma listened to Firebomber.
Yeah.
They mentioned the Proto-Devlin. They mentioned Basara.
Yeah.
That's about it. The ship.
Yeah.
The Frontier itself.
Well, okay. No. They Cheryl and Bronca do get to sing with
eventually. Eventually. Yeah.
Directly?
Not directly.
No, because FB7, they don't. That's the whole blue ballsing of that whole movie. They never actually cross over with them.
No, but they... Oh, virtually, or whatever you want to... Through a VCR.
They find like Firebomber tapes from an eagle. That
they find the FX bootlegs, and right. They pop them in and watch them all.
Get in the car.
Oh, God, this podcast is just devolving into rambling now.
Yeah, we're losing it. But the VF4, table of contents, VF4 model kit, VF4 master file, and big shock in Macross Delta episode 10. So anyone who thought this was the goofiest Macross, oh my god, it's all Sailor Moon and magical girls and Macross is happy, happy, happy in your face.
Seriously, that was some Area 88 shit right there.
Laser going right into the cockpit and like blood splattering all over the inside of the cockpit. And, you know, oh, yeah. Wow, this is goofy and, like, this is for little girls. No, this is
not. If they were looking to balance it out, I think that one scene right there almost made the scales tip evenly between what people want to call the Moe idol crap and the hardcore grit. I think that one scene right there almost equaled the playing field.
Well, yeah. There's also a suicide bomber in the first 5 minutes of the series.
Right.
That's kind of hardcore and dark. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the series as a whole is hardcore and dark.
No.
But they're mindful of that.
Yes.
You know.
But see, this is what's great about the series overall, is that it doesn't happen often.
Right.
If this was Macross meets Attack on Titan, you kind of honestly you kind of get desensitized to it.
Yeah.
It's like oh yeah, someone else died. That character died. They had it coming. Blah. And it gets dull. The fact that Macross is that proverbial roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a little bit of everything, and it takes you on the ups, the downs, and
just like real life
and the spin arounds. Yeah. It gives you a good sense of, yeah, this is fun. I like this. I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got really, really good music, too.
Mm-hmm.
Axia, is that what it's called?
Yeah, which actually I think maybe another Greek reference.
Okay.
Because Achaia in ancient Greek means danger.
Hmm.
And, that got used in a very early chapter of Saint Seiya, and they spelled it as Axia.
Saint Seiya. Sorry.
Pegasasu Yoni. Yeah, because the sound in ancient Greek, it looks like an X.
Okay.
The letter, which I can't remember what the name of, it looks like an X, so it looks like it would be pronounced Axia.
Yeah.
But actually, it's Achia. But yeah, it was used in a Saint Seiya episode, and I think they may be using it here. So, like, chaos is written in Greek. This may be, like, Greek for danger.
Well, my point is that it's a good song, and I'm glad we finally hear more of it, because the last time we heard it, it was on the little bracelet music player. And I really like it. I think this is probably my favorite since Eek and I Borderline.
And I really like, and Valkyrie Attack was in this one again, and I liked it more than I liked it in episode 6.
Now I like the mix of music in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like okay, these are actually really good songs to go with this.
Yeah.
I wish the OST would stand out a little more though.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, that the background music is not as good as the songs.
I think that is actually my biggest gripe
of the whole series in general. And we did talk about it earlier when we were having lunch, and I'll share it with all you guys who are actually going to listen to this, all five of you. Right.
If you're still listening now, you're crazy.
No, but the problem with the background music is throughout every series, I could think of a background song, and it sounds familiar. I know that song. I know that's from Plus. I know that's from this. I know that's from Frontier.
What about the background music from Seven?
All the Macross 2 music? I love it. I love it.
Dun! Da-dun! Da-dun!
No, you know what? Macross 7 has its own reason for doing that. Right. And, you know, yes, they don't have background music, but it's, you know, we discussed that. And that's probably for a different podcast related to music, which I think we should do sometime.
Richard, didn't you cover this in a different podcast?
With
Andrew Colley, Macross music of the 90s?
Yes.
But, and going back to Delta, I cannot remember. I don't have any recollection of any of the background music at all. I hate to say it, it's so forgettable. It really is.
And there's actually been a couple pieces where I've actually, basically disliked it, where I thought it was too distracting.
Yeah. You know? And no, this isn't, you know, this isn't a cry to get, you know, Yoko Kanno to come back. It's not, it has nothing to do with that. It's just boring music, honestly. Yeah. It's nothing special.
I like the bagpipes.
That's
a really cool idea. Mm-hmm.
Kyle mentioned that today. He's like, whoa, were those bagpipes? They are!
And I think we've heard them in previous episodes.
Yeah, that music has been in previous episodes.
That is probably the one that actually stands out to me because it's so unique compared to the others.
I think for me, the one that stands out is the dun 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 dun, because that was in the first trailer.
You almost made it sound like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it kind of did. It kind of does. But the first soundtrack will also contain the traditional jellyfish song that was in this episode.
Yes. Which I thought was so cute.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Okay.
But
so,
let me ask you this. As far as how do you think this is going to affect Konami? Total speculation here, but what do you think's gonna happen next?
The Gurtalk, Adrian was talking about, like, in idol culture, what would happen next would be that Konami would have to graduate. And I think that's really interesting. And by graduate, we mean quit. I hope that doesn't happen, because I've really grown to like her. I mean, if she moves into more of a management role than, like, a performer, that might be okay, but I don't want her to leave the show.
All right. Mm-hmm. Or this motivates her to get better, maybe? So it doesn't happen twice?
Okay.
Because, I mean, from the pilot character standpoint, Hayate is going to have to fill in the vacuum that Messer is leaving.
Uh-huh.
Somebody is. And be, you know, the best pilot of the squadron. And the whole idea for that is so it doesn't happen again, I guess. Because you can't do the same shit like that twice in a series.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they want to, you know, do it to Chuck and totally make that happen. But I feel like Konami from this is going to get motivated to keep going and get stronger so she doesn't lose any of the other Delta pilots.
So she'll become as good as Mikimo. Or she'll try to.
She apparently was at one time.
No, I think Mikimo was better when she joined, and that's why Mikimo became the star.
Yeah.
I honestly think, and just thinking more realistically, I mean, I know this is not realistic drama here, but something like that where you're singing and the whole time that you've been singing throughout this Walkure career, you've been helping people, curing them, inspiring the pilots. Well, now you're singing a song that you sang that this guy had a bracelet of that song that kept him in line. Now she's singing it to him, and he dies.
Right.
I think that's going to seriously
mess with her.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good way.
That's going to mess
singing,
her with
she's
her.
She's singing to him, and she's singing to him after he gave her the bracelet too.
Right.
So in a sense, you know, seeing that scene again where he gives her the bracelet, it's kind of like you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to get that because that was your connection to everything that kept you there, that kept you in line, that kept you in control, that kept you basically sane. So he gave his most precious item to her, and then she's trying to sing to him, and her live voice singing to him wasn't good enough. So there's a few things that could really mess with her psyche after this.
Mess her up.
It could mess her around. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think she could develop the confidence, you know, the I'm not going to let this happen again.
Yeah.
In which case, she might, you know, there's different ways it can go, but she might be overly, you know, forceful with, like, no, we got to sing harder. We got to do this. She might be one of those.
The motherly type. Up until this point, she might get like super like commanding, like, no, we're not going to let this happen again. I'm not going to let it happen.
And everyone's saying that this seems a little too early to kill a major character. I've seen that like in a bunch of places, but again, we don't know where the story is going.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know what the whole plot line is, so it might throw it into a very different kind of area.
But yeah, this leads off down. I mean, it ends. I should say, ends on a dark note.
Yeah, and it could go in several different ways after this.
So I honestly think the next person to die is going to be somebody from the Knights.
Huh. Probably and Master Herman.
I don't think it's going to be because of old age either.
Okay. And I don't think it's going to be Keith though.
Keith is going to last till the end.
Yeah.
Keith is probably either going to die or miraculously be redeemed at the end.
Yeah. Anyway, do we have any more nonsense we want to share?
Not really.
No, I'm really happy about that commercial. I want to listen to it again.
I want to listen to Giraffe Blues. I don't really care about the OST coming out this month, although I will buy it. But that Valkyrie Attack album is the one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the Macross Speaker Podcast.
Wait. We got to do this. Where can you be found?
Oh, God. Right. Do we really? Okay, Kyle, where can you be found?
Literally anywhere on the internet that you could think of, like Twitter and Facebook, DeviantArt, and like YouTube, I am Falcon KPD. That is Falcon KPD. That is my title.
Sasuga non mysterious Venus.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason, where can you be found?
Facebook only. I don't do Twitter, although I have a Twitter account, but, if you want to find me, you can look for the Macross Fans US group. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of us. We're actually approaching 1,000 people.
Wow.
Finally. So we got that. There's a lot of news from the Macross Speaker Podcast guys and a lot of good fan art. Just, you know, people shopping around. It's a good site.
Yeah. It
has a strict rule against the other franchise that thinks they're competing still.
Right. And I am, you can find me on Facebook in most of these Macross groups, and as well as on goobabablog.wordpress.com, where I'm nearing the end of my very long Macross rewatch. I'm now over halfway through Frontier. It is coming to the end, and I'm grateful for that.
Which I definitely would impress on you guys to actually read.
I wish more people would read it instead of just liking the photos. I can always tell who's actually, like, by the comments on Facebook when I post it there, you can tell kind of who's reading it and who is just looking at the photo and then saying something.
I love that.
Well, you know me. I always like them, but I do try and read them, you know, when I can.
DVD. Macross.
Yes. Okay, anyway. This is the Macross Speaker Podcast, US edition, folding out.
いつけない君はいつでもこの場所から何を見てた手に入れれば失うものたち数えて涙も隠していたね。
God, this sucks.
Yeah, this kind of sucks.